Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
So I am having the distinct honor and strange honor of giving a sermon to I'm actually giving a sermon to a computer screen and to Deb, but of course I'm giving it to all of you, and I can see your faces, and it is just unbelievably surreal. That's the word for all of it right now. It's amazing as I look around the empty sanctuary right now and think about how just a couple of weeks ago it was Purim, and this room was packed with just hundreds of people and lots of simcha and joy and laughter. And by 3 days after Purim, such a gathering was completely unthinkable. I mean, you have no idea. I guess you probably do have an idea about, you know, Deb and I were sitting around the shul for those days immediately after Purim, just in shock as we had to keep reevaluating, and you got the emails from me, reevaluating and canceling and shutting down more and more extremely as time went by. I don't know about you, but certainly I'm not quite out of it yet, but just the sense of walking around in a daze that what is going on? What's happened to our world? And of course, in addition to being in that kind of daze, there is that underlying drumbeat of dread and anxiety that we all have right now. You know, I would hazard to say that, you know, most of us are in some kind of category of high risk, whether it be because of our age or because of some underlying condition. I know I am, because I have asthma, and all kinds of people have these risks. And what happens when we know that there is this pandemic in the world, and we know that we or people who are close to us are in a high risk category? Immediately, where do our minds go? Our minds go right to the nightmare vision, these movies that play in our heads, right? These movies of being at death's door in a hospital that is overwhelmed, not having access to life-saving resources or our loved ones in that situation. It is absolutely a terrifying nightmare vision. So I want to start off right now in this sermon to remind us all that's just a nightmare in our head right now, okay? That is not happening to any of us who are here right now on this. We are okay. Now, it's ironically, bizarrely, it's actually important for us to be worried about it. You know, it's not often that fear and worry is necessarily a healthy thing, but it's literally a healthy thing right now to keep us all safe. But what I want to point out and what I want to teach about today is that, you know, too much worry, of course, can utterly paralyze us. And it can tear us away from what we could be doing and how we could be living our lives and how deeply joyful and connected and helpful we can be in our lives at this time. I want to actually go a little deeper into a piece of Torah that I taught last night at Kabbalat Shabbat. I talked about how at the completion of this Mishkan, this tent of meeting in the wilderness, Moses speaks words and reminds people about Shabbat. Remember I taught that last night, those of you who are here, he says the following. He says, Sheshet yamim te'aseh melacha, which means 6 days, your work will be done. Uvayom hashvi'i yihye kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton. And on the seventh day, it will be a Shabbat Shabbaton, a real Shabbos. It's hard to translate that into English. I want to focus today on the first part of that phrase, where Moses says, Sheshet yamim te'aseh melacha. 6 days work will be done. Notice anything strange about the construct of the verb la'asot, to do? It's te'aseh. It's 6 days work will be done. It's like a passive voice. Work will be done. Why doesn't it say sheshet yamim ta'aseh melacha? What would that 6 days you shall do work? Why does it, the commentators go to town with this? Why is it suddenly in the passive voice? So before I answer that question, I want to share a quick little Hasidic story with you that will help clarify the answer to that question. It's a story about a Talmid Chacham, a very excellent student who was a young man, maybe a boy, who was a brilliant Torah student in his yeshiva. And he eventually reached the age where, you know, as it was the case, he had to learn a trade. He had to make parnasa. He had to earn a living. So what did he do? He went and he decided to become an apprentice to a cobbler, to a shoemaker. And because he was such an assiduous student, he was so good at everything. This is one of these brilliant Yiddish cup kind of kids. He became completely focused on his trade of becoming a spectacular best shoemaker you ever saw. And he was so focused all the time. Everything was making his shoes all the time. Finally, his Rebbe pulled him aside and said, listen, I want to tell you something. Feet wrapped up in shoes is a good thing. But when you have a head wrapped up in one giant shoe, that's not a good thing. And that's you. So of course, the moral of the story is that we can get so wrapped up in certain things that we lose sight of what's important, of what matters, of what the real truth is, and what our purpose is in this life. So I guess it can be said that we've all got our heads stuck in our shoes right now over this coronavirus that's going on in the world. And, you know, how could we not? We're witnessing, you know, we're realizing this, how thin the veneer of society, of civilization is, as we witness the whole world come to a crashing halt because of a virus. Isn't that something? How could we not be in this state of te'ase, that it's being done to us? We have no control over what's been happening to us. So of course that makes sense, which is why this command of Moses is so important, that there are things that are te'ase, that are done to us. V'yom ha-shvi'i Shabbat Shabbaton. But on the seventh day, you must pause. You must have a physical rest. You must have a spiritual rest in the midst of all of this, right? So in normal life, what happens? During the 6 days of the week, we're busy making our proverbial shoes, right? We are busy in our lives and we get obsessed with the mundane. So we need Shabbos. Now that the world is turned upside down on its head, we're trying to pay attention to work, but of course what we're obsessing on is the things that are making us anxious. But whether the world is right side up or the world is upside down, one thing doesn't change: the command for Shabbat. And when we think about the command for Shabbat, it's there, yes, of course, to rest, to breathe, to have a pause, but you know, it's also there for us to look around at our whole world and see all of it, see all the blessing and the miracle and the beauty, and see the things that are terrifying, the things that are wrong in the world, the things that need repair in the world. That's what Shabbat is taking it all in. But then Shabbat serves as the kind of antidote to the getting obsessed with any one part of this world. It's sort of the thing that knocks the shoes off of our heads. It's the thing that reminds us, yes, to breathe, but also to recognize what our role is in the midst of all of this crazy, maddening, wonderful, beautiful miracle that this life we've been granted is. Our role is, we are here. We are here to connect with each other, as we're doing right now virtually. We're here to connect with meaning and purpose, as we are doing right here at this moment. We are here also to connect with our potential to heal the world. That's what Shabbat is also here to remind us to do. I want to read actually a quote of Ben Sira that appears in the Talmud. And I am absolutely certain that this quote was written during a time of a plague, maybe 2,000 years ago. He writes the following: "Do not suffer from tomorrow's trouble. That is, do not worry about problems that might arise in the future, as you do not know what a day will bring. Perhaps when tomorrow comes, the individual who was so worried will discover that he was upset over a world that was not his. Prevent a crowd from inside your house. Do not let many people enter, and do not even bring all your friends into your house. Make sure, however, that a crowd seeks your welfare and that you have many allies." Isn't that something? That is from 2,000 years ago. And as I often say, when we talk about Jewish wisdom in difficult times, this ain't our first rodeo, folks. We have been around this many, many times before, unfortunately. We have seen this and we have survived this. And the same wisdom that we're practicing now was practiced thousands of years ago, in the words of Ben Sira. And of course, we have this moment of Shabbat to think about wisdom, to pause and to reflect. And that's actually what our tradition wants us to remember in this and in all kinds of crises, is, you know, now the rubber hits the road in terms of understanding the meaning of Shabbat, right? We are here to take the lessons and the learning that comes from observing Shabbat at a time like this, right? Yes, we should pause and breathe and all of those wonderful things, but we also have to learn what we do with our lives. Right now, the world is leading us to a place where we just want to obsess all the time on nightmare visions. But Shabbat stands in the breach and says, no, reframe that. Instead of focusing on nightmare visions, focus on why we are here in this world. Why are we going through this right now? What can we learn? What can we do right now? I want to read another quote now. This is from Pema Chodron in her book, which very aptly is titled for this time that we're in now. It's called When Things Fall Apart. That's a good title for right now. Here's what she writes. She says, the only time we ever know what's really going on is when the rug's been pulled out and we can't find anywhere to land. We use these situations either to wake ourselves up or to put ourselves to sleep. Right now, in the very instant of groundlessness, is the seed of taking care of those who need our care and of discovering our goodness. So what do we do right now? What is our purpose right now? I would say the following. Our purpose is not to go to sleep, to not get lost in the anxiety and the nightmare visions of the terrible things that can happen, as much as that's natural and that's going to happen, not to get caught in that, but instead to use this Shabbat as a Shabbat Shabbaton to really wake up to what we're capable of right now. First of all, to be compassionate to ourselves because we're scared and we can take care of ourselves and our loved ones. But it's also to remember that we're alive, that right now we have our health, and that we have incredible potential by joining together. If it needs to be virtually now, that's okay. We're going to find lots more ways to join together virtually during this. And ultimately, do you know what this is about? This meaning is actually what Shabbat is always about. It's just now the stakes are so high, we can see the meaning and purpose that we get from Shabbat so clearly. Look around at our world and let's celebrate what gives us strength in each other, and then let us together envision a healed world, tikkun olam, a world that does not live in fear or disease or strife. But let's envision a world that is different. We can all do that in our unity and our coming together in this difficult moment. That's what Moses' words are in the Parsha are all about. They're there to show us. We've just built this Mishkan. We have this symbol now, a symbol of the perfection and beauty and holiness that this world is capable of. So now, as we go through life, have a Shabbat Shabbaton and learn from it. Learn that we are capable of not just building a beautiful tent. We can make the whole world this place of holiness. So may we learn that we are not powerless right now. We have all the power in the world now, in our hearts, in our souls, and in our potential to act. So long as we dream and envision together, instead of nightmares, what this world is going to look like when we come out of this nightmare. May we all remember that we are sourced in this divine strength, and may we learn the wisdom of Shabbat. So when we emerge, we're going to make a new and more beautiful world, a world of health, a world of safety, a world where we will have learned from this how to better care and love one another, a world that will be a blessing of safety and joy for many generations to come. And let us all say, Amen.